Midway, we'll have Mary Megan from Ireland, who will address. Mary is the founder and director of Celtic Journeys in Ireland. I was fortunate enough a few years back to go on a pilgrimage with Mary. A Holy Spirit, Mary is. Her energy stays with me whenever I think of Ireland and Mary. Anyway, we have a treat in store. Mary will talk about Celtic spirituality and how it's interwoven in everyday life and how we can stop the rat race, so to speak, a little bit and get more into the sacredness and the solitude and the quiet that we need in order to nourish our soul. Thank you. Hello again. I am so happy. My friend and Irish leprechaun, Mary Megan, founder and director of Celtic Journeys, is here. As I told you earlier, I was fortunate enough to do a pilgrimage with Mary a few years back in Ireland, and it was life-changing. So without further ado, for her to share what she wants to share today with all of you regarding Celtic spirituality, I welcome Mary. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Laura. Hello, Laura. Good morning.
Good morning.
And it's lovely to be with you. And to all your listeners, wherever they are, I would say a big falcha, falcha shock, which is a welcome in Irish. Because
okay.
It gives me great joy to be back on the show again and share some of the Celtic wisdom with you.
All right, Mary. Where would you like to start? Would you like to start with a blessing or a moment of...
I'll begin with this morning to share a little piece of a mindful Celtic reflection, so people could just listen to this little piece.
Mm-hmm.
How does that sound?
That sounds great. Let's see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And the little piece I'm going to share, it's a very deep and heartfelt piece of a poem by one of our famous Irish poets, William Butler Yeats. And in this poem, Yeats is dialoguing with his soul. And so I would just like your listeners now to close your eyes and listen, because it is about forgiveness and blessing. And this is him reflecting on his life. I am content to follow to its source every event in action or in thought. Measure the lot, forgive myself the lot. When such as I cast out remorse, so great a sweetness flows into the breast, we must laugh and we must sing. We are blessed by everything, and everything we look upon is blessed.
Mm. That is beautiful, Mary.
Mm-hmm. And that could be something, I mean, that's something I often use in the morning or the evening as part of Celtic practice. So that could be something, if your listeners were interested, that, you know, how we would use it would be, we would take it and we would sit with it and meditate upon it for our own life. How, you know, how we do that similar dialogue and how we forgive ourselves and how we, once forgiveness flows into the heart, how we bless ourselves and then bless everything in our world.
So Mary, maybe you could move into that a little more about the Celtic spirituality and how blessings are interwoven. One thing that really impressed me when I was there was how the spirituality doesn't have necessarily a beginning and an ending. It's kind of woven into all day long, whatever one is doing.
Yes.
And I love that. So talk about the heart and talk about how important that is.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, Laura, as you would know now, Celtic spirituality is really a heart spirituality, you know. So it offers us, any of us in the world, a way of listening with our heart. And, you know, John O'Donohue, the wonderful Irish poet and writer, who you often mention on your show, Laura, you know, it said, the heart is the inner face of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And to give time and attention to that inner face of our lives, we would see as life-enhancing. We would see that as essential, that we turn inwards to our heart and to hear the voice of our heart. And, you know, Patrick Kavanagh, another Celtic poet who I, you know, just an amazing, he's passed on now, but has left a beautiful legacy. You know, one of the little lines of his poem says, God cannot catch us unless we stay in the unconscious room of our hearts. So there is that sense of responding from our hearts, rather than something of what you were saying, or rather than responding second-handly to somebody else's heart. You know? And I think sometimes in the noisiness and busy world that, you know, that many of us live in, the whispers of our own heart are very much drowned out, you know? And so I feel that the tradition of the Celtic world offers us wisdom that we can bring to ourselves to hear. And so we can hear and respond to the callings of our heart, you know, like our own inner voice, if you like.
Yes, indeed. John O'Donohue was mentioning that in the poem I read at the beginning of today's segment,
right.
For exhaustion.
Right.
For one who is exhausted, and it talks about needing that dark, empty time to get back in touch with what we took for granted.
Yes, I mean,
I love his stuff. I just love his stuff.
It's amazing. I mean, he has left a wonderful legacy. I mean, it's sad that he died so young, but he has left a wonderful legacy. And that at least can still accompany us, you know. And sometimes, you know, in responding to our heart or responding to our exhaustion, sometimes it goes more like on a treadmill, so we don't respond in any natural way. So we would believe that one essential part of hearing your own inner wisdom, your own inner heart, is to spend time in silence and solitude. That you have to gather some silence around your life, you know, and we very much in Celtic spirituality honor that, because we know in our hearts the value of it. So just like you were saying earlier, Laura, it becomes part of our everyday life. Because spirituality, in terms of solitude and silence and blessing and community and all of the things, are all interwoven. So it isn't that spirituality is apart from our daily lives. Spirituality is our daily lives. So you would, an example could be for somebody, you know, you would take 10 or 15 minutes in the morning. For quiet solitude time, and that then the rest of your day unfolds in a completely different way than if you get up and go straight into a busy world.
It is that way for me. I notice if I don't take those 15-20 minutes, Mary, my day just isn't right. And sometimes when you're rushing, you'll think, I'll do that later when I get to the office or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's the timing of it. Somehow when you just get out of bed and before you start that rush, that gives it more potency to be helpful. And I suggest to people, especially over here where we're all sort of segmented in what we do and we're run by the clock, to maybe even have a little altar or special chair or special place to go there every day. And it seems to pick up more of the sacred energy the more you do it that way.
Yes, and I mean, it's interesting that you say that, Laura, because that was one of the things I was going to touch on today, was that sense of, if you have a sense that can help you touch into your own silence and solitude, because often people are frightened of it. And they're frightened of the silence, and they're frightened of being apart. And we would perceive that nature, we're one with nature, and nature supports us. So a lovely way of doing it is if you have a little place that you can go to in nature. I mean, for some people, it'll be their garden. For other people, they might have a little place in the balcony.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else, if they're confined to home, it could be a plant and a stone and water in their living room or bedroom. You know, it doesn't have to be anything great, but that, just like you say, Laura, if you go to that place every day And you pick, the other thing we would have is that you would pick it, it would call to you. So it's like that part of the earth would call you and say, this is your little place. Mm-hmm. So whatever part of the garden or the balcony or whatever. And that, so each morning or each whatever time of the day, that's where you would go. And so then it is, just like you say, we would believe that, that you build up an energy, you build up a resonance. And that, that so you have nature supporting you. And you're building it up inside yourself.
Yeah, I find that having, you know, a special place kind of gets me centered more easily, and I get into that holy space more easily.
Right.
Yeah. But, so you're saying then, in Celtic spirituality, one of the ways to get out of the head into the heart, to get, it seems like a short distance, but it can be a very long distance in terms of how you feel about the divine. So you're saying, Mary, you can find a way into the heart through solitude and prayer and meditation. How do you say it?
Yes, well, that you would, well, one of the things is you get into the heart. One of the things is tuning into nature. So we would see that as very important. I mean, people live in cities, but you can still tune into nature. But nature and the landscape supports us. Our belief would be is we come from the land. We're part of the land. So therefore, you naturally look to the land and the earth to support you. So that would be a definite way of supporting the sense of solitude and prayerfulness, is to connect with nature. Because when you connect with nature, you see a bigger horizon, a greater world, a deeper world than just you and your individual alone path. You know, so it can be very supportive. You know, and of course, also the thing is with silence and solitude, sometimes, you know, people fear, because it takes courage. It takes courage. So we would also believe that you need supports to be in the silence and solitude, like supports of blessings. That's why I think in Celtic spirituality there's blessings for everything, for every moment of the day, for every happening of the day. So before you would begin it, you know, you would pick some of these blessings. There are thousands of them. And, you know, so you would have your little ritual of beginning with a blessing. Spend your few minutes, however, you know, and then complete with a blessing. Because, you know, there's the story of St. Kevin in Glendalough, one of the great Celtic saints. And, you know, there's the lake, and he was going past the lake on his way to spend time in solitude. And, of course, there's the monster in the lake. And when he goes to the lake, which most people had been doing, they tried to kill the monster or hide from it. And Kevin did neither. He befriended it. He didn't try to destroy it. He didn't try to avoid it. He befriended it, and he went on his way. And we would believe that was because he knew to spend time in solitude, you have to befriend your inner demons, if you like.
Oh, Mary, that's a great place. We're going to go into break here in just a minute.
Okay.
And would you be willing to wait after the break and so we can have a little more of
happy to.
What you want to share.
Happy to, Laura. Lovely.
All right.
Thank you.
Hello again. We're here with Mary Megan, founder of and director of Celtic Journeys in Ireland. And as I said before, I was fortunate enough to do a pilgrimage with her in Ireland a few years ago. I want to say she comes to the United States twice a year and does retreats and workshops, and I want to ask her to give you contact information. Also, she does pilgrimages, retreats in Ireland, and I want to be sure you have that information. Of course, you can go to my website, liferesourcecenter.net, and it will be there. However, send me an email, solutions@liferesourcecenter.net, and I'll get information to you. However, Mary is on the line. So, Mary, how can people who are interested in a pilgrimage, workshop, retreat with you get a hold of you?
Right. Well, the easiest and most straightforward way, Laura, would be to go on our website. And it's simple. It's just celticjourneys.com, or they can email me at mary@celticjourneys.com. And on the website, it has a lot of details, not alone about the Celtic sacred journeys I offer in Ireland, but also a little bit more about Celtic spirituality if people wanted to delve into it a little further. And I can give them, I'll be there in October. I'll be in Baltimore and a number of places in Atlanta for open retreats and workshops. The other ones are all private, but all the information is there if anybody would like to come to those.
Oh, great. So that's good that they have a way. And you have some spaces in your American retreat still?
Yes, we do. Because quite a few of them are private, so they're always filled up right away. But we have spaces in the two, one in a church in Atlanta and another one in a community, and then in a holistic center in Maryland. Yeah, Baltimore, yeah. So I'd be happy to, for anybody who was interested, or if they wanted to talk about it a little more, just to email me, mary@celticjourneys.com, and I'd be happy to answer any of their queries.
Great.
Or if they want, when I come back, I could, if they had a group, I would be happy to offer, to go to different places and, if I have availability in the schedule and it worked for them.
So. And you usually come October and?
March.
March.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and it's a great joy because there really is, I think there is that sense now of people being isolated sometimes from spirituality and not knowing how to find it. And I do think that, that Celtic spirituality for some reason seems to really connect with people who are seeking today. I mean, other spiritualities do, but I think it seems to have a deep resonance. So even though it's quite ancient and still alive in parts, there's this rekindling and a reinterest in it. It seems to touch people's hearts and offer them, I think, the support and inspiration and acceptance, that people who are on a spiritual path are seeking.
Well, I'm sure you get lots of response from people who've taken time to let you know what your pilgrimages have meant to them. And do you have something you want to share?
Well, yes, because what I find over the years that I've been doing this, it's interesting how there's almost like quite a theme. People often, when I've been to wherever, mainly America, people get back to you if I've done a Celtic retreat or a workshop, or when they've done a Celtic journey in Ireland. And, what people have said is things like, Celtic spirituality showed me the sacredness of all things and reawakened my spirit. Or Celtic spirituality invited my soul to fly. And the Celtic retreat brought me on a journey back into my heart, and I enjoyed the homecoming. Our Celtic spirituality took me through profound contemplation, to joyous wonder, to shared silences, to uproarious laughter.
Yes, I remember there was meditation, there was laughter, there was good food, there was Irish dance. I mean, it all just interwoven as we journeyed through the week.
And that is the Celtic spiritual path, is that it is very much about weaving. So everything is woven together. So you have the community support you, you have your own time in solitude, then you have celebration, dance, music, it's all part of it. And I think that gives it a great richness. And also it means, because it holds the light in the dark, in whatever place you're in your life, it has a place for you. There's a place you can go. There's a place you can take it.
John O'Donohue says, stay clear of those vexed in spirit. Learn to linger around someone of ease who feels they have all the time in the world. And that feeling permeated, a lot of our journey together.
Right.
Like there's another time. It was elongated time. Mystery. Just the mystery of it.
Yeah. I think it is. It offers that. I think the sense that it is very simple, It can be very practical, yet with all, it steps into the mystical and the mystery. Mm-hmm. And I think it holds those, it holds lots of contradictions anyway. It's a spirituality that is quite content with paradox and contradiction. So you can have it all, which makes it very heartsome for all of us, because none of us have the one life of full brightness and light. So it means whatever place you're in, you have something to either comfort you, inspire you, you know, be with you in the bright times and in the places of darkness and shade.
And I think John O'Donohue said in one of his poems about staying open to the contradictions, staying open to the questions.
Yes.
And
yes.
Not having to nail down...
Yes.
Nail down an answer, as many of us are wont to do, you know?
Yeah.
We want to...
Patrick Kavanagh says in one of his poems that, similar to that, he said, you know, there are no answers to any real question. You know, like, posing the question is enough.
Uh-huh.
And that sometimes takes people a while, but it's very freeing. That's how my experience of it, and those that I guide, is that they find a great freedom with it.
Yeah. Well, it's like giving yourself inner permission not to have the answers.
Yes.
And to be open to the mystery of not knowing.
Yes. And that there may never be any clear answer, but there can still be a way for you to go forward. It doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be bright light clarity. It can be set. Of course, we love mists in the Celtic. So it can be in the mist. You can have glimpses of an answer, and that might be enough. That might be all you need to take you along the road in your journey.
And so there are no guarantees, Mary?
No.
So we don't, we have to be, I know that it felt like that, and so open and mysterious when I was in Ireland. I have to say it was in like another space entirely. And I held it very well till I got to JFK and had to change planes. Then I had to come back to the earth and with a thud.
Right.
But then I could go back into it when I would stop and get quiet and reflect. And I loved the power of that.
Yes, yes. Because I think it has an easy access for people. It's easy to access it because it's quite a humble, you know, spirituality in many ways, even though it's incredibly rich and diverse, you know.
Yeah.
It makes it very accessible for all of us. And that's something that is a gift in itself.
Yes. Mary, we're going to wind down here in just a minute. So again, would you just quickly say how people can get hold of you? I know it's mary@celticjourneys.com is your email.
That's right. And the website is www.celticjourneys.com. All one word.
Okay. And I want you to know Mary will be traveling to the United States starting to be over here the 1st of October, Mary, or first week in October?
Yes, first week in October.
Okay, and Mary will be joining us again, and I'm very happy to be able to say she'll be joining us. We'll do some follow-up on Fear of God and Search for God and Celtic Spirituality next week, next Friday. And I want to thank Mary. Thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing, Mary.
You're very welcome. Very welcome. It's a delight. It's a real joy for me. So, Guramagat, which is thank you.